Thank you for tuning in to an Abundant Life Worship Center podcast. You're listening to a message from our series on joy. Take what you learn from this message, practice it, and walk in joy. God truly wants us to be walking in joy, and we need to think about and focus on those things that bring joy. So we did talk about that. But today, we want to specifically talk about the joy of salvation. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture, some verses about it, and we're going to look about why does salvation bring such joy. Now, our key Scripture, I'm going to look at it again, Isaiah 55, verse 11 to 13. You will go out in joy and be led forward in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hand. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So God, in this portion of Scripture, was telling his people that he would bring them into great joy, such joy that creation around them would be rejoicing. And when God brings us into joy, as we discovered and went through Scripture in previous ones, creation actually does rejoice around us. We've looked at a number of different topics already, talking about living daily in joy. We looked at how being thankful brings joy and how renewing our minds brings joy. And of course, as I already mentioned, I gave you the challenge of writing it down and to read it out loud, to focus on those things, as Paul said, the things that are excellent, the things that are of good report, and instead of focusing on things that bring us low, focusing on good things. And today specifically, I want to look at the joy of our salvation. Sometimes when you've been saved for many years, it's almost as if the joy gets a little less, or we don't realize how amazing our salvation is. And so I'm going to look at these verses and I want you to see what an amazing, joyful thing we have, even if we had nothing else but salvation. So the salvation of the Lord, as we read in Scripture, brings immense joy. Not just a little bit of joy, not just a, it's good. It brings a whole being of joy, and there's a reason. So Psalm 35 and verse 9. So all through Scripture, we can read about it. And David says this, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." The Passion Translation put it this way, "Then my fears will dissolve into limitless joy. My whole being will overflow with gladness because of your mighty deliverance." So salvation, the salvation that comes from God, that's available to all of us because of what Christ did on that tree where he gave his life. And they sang the song about it. What a powerful words were up on the screen of, "He paid it all for us." That salvation, that deliverance brings us joy. And as it said in the Passion Translation, limitless joy. In other words, joy that goes on, joy that abounds, joy that is full. Acts 8 and verse 5 to 8. I just wanted to give you one from the Old Testament, one from the New as we begin the message today. Acts 8, verse 5 to 8. And I'm also again reading from the Passion Translation. And we're here reading the story about Philip the evangelist. And he traveled to a Samaritan city and he began to preach about Christ. And while he was preaching about Christ, he also did what Christ told them to do, and he prayed and he healed the sick. If there was someone sick, the sick were healed. Also, we know that it says that many who were possessed with evil spirits were set free. And it said that some were set free and there was a loud shriek as the person was set free. And in verse 6, it says, "The crowd was eager to receive Philip's message and were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders he performed. Many demon-possessed people were set free and delivered as evil spirits came out of them with loud screams and shrieks, and many who were lame and paralyzed were also healed. This resulted in an uncontainable joy filling the city. Think about that for a minute. An uncontainable joy filled an entire city because of what God was doing, because of the salvation he was bringing. And the salvation that Christ paid for is not just something that happens invisibly in our minds. The salvation that Christ paid for is real in our body, our soul, and our spirit. The word salvation means to be made completely whole. Okay? I want you to understand that, because when you understand that, you understand why it brings such joy. Think about the people in this city who were in bondage to evil spirits, and yet now they're set free. Do you not imagine the joy they must have felt? There's no cure for that outside of a supernatural deliverance. And in some areas that are heavily into spiritual things, more people are possessed or controlled by them. But the message of Christ and his saving power, what he did on the cross, Philip brought it to these people, and freedom comes. And many accepted Christ as their Savior. Experiencing salvation and bringing it to others brings great joy. I remember a number of years ago, and this story comes to my mind as we talk about people receiving and then being filled with joy. Oftentimes, when you go into areas where there is a heavy spiritual oppression, there's no joy, but when that oppression breaks, joy comes. And I remember one time years ago, my wife and I, and our kids as well, I think at that time Anita was fairly young, we went into a meeting, and we were just joining in with this meeting. And at the prayer time, I joined a young man for prayer. And I really felt God saying, yeah, he needs to go for prayer. And I'd actually asked him, do you want to go for prayer? I'll go with you. And I went up for prayer with him. And there was a number of people up there for prayer. And they had the music going. The band was playing. And I had my hand on this young man's back there. And I thought, you know, the music was quite loud, so you couldn't hear a lot of talking, whatever, but I thought, how come this guy is vibrating? And when I looked around to the front, I was like, oh no, he was growling. He was manifesting, if anybody wonders what that is. And I'll be honest with you, I've been in ministry a lot of years. I've seen many crazy things. I won't tell you them all. But at that exact moment, I was thinking, this isn't my meeting. I wonder who's here who's praying for people. It's not my favorite thing, but I knew, okay, this is important for that person. Now, people did try to pray for him, and he just kind of went crazy and was, you know, trying to throw people and bite people. It wasn't pretty. And I remember thinking, Lord, why is this person not being set free? Because I'd seen many people set free instantly. And that's the way I believe it should be. I don't believe an evil spirit should get to manifest and create a scene. And it was like the Holy Spirit dropped in when I asked that, and he said, oh, he doesn't want to be free. And I thought, how could that be possible? Why would someone not want to be free? And so I talked to this other guy who was trying to help out, and I said, just let him go. Let him go. He doesn't want to be free. And so they let him go, and he walked out the back door of this church, and it was a late night meeting. He walked out the back door, and the guy was beside me and another guy, and we said, well, let's follow him out and let's go talk to him. So we followed him out the back of the church, and the band was still going. There was a lot of young people at the meeting, and because of what had happened, many of the young people had kind of scattered, and some of them were crying, they were afraid. And I thought, you know, it can't end like this. So we went out the back doors. And as we went out the back doors, he had stopped on this kind of a deck area coming up to the church. And he turned around, and he was still manifesting, I guess. And he's going like this, looking at us. He said, somebody better call the cops, because there's going to be a lot of blood. And I remember I kind of laughed, because I don't know why I thought it was funny. But anyways, I kind of laughed, and there was him, and there was three of us that had come out. And a little old lady at the back, as soon as we came out, she shut the doors and locked them, because she wanted to make sure he didn't get back in. And I remember I said, well, we need to talk to him. So I talked to him, and I found out his name on the way back out. And so I called his name because I wanted to talk to him, not what was happening. And I said, do you want to be free? And he said, no, I don't. And I said, well, why don't you want to be free? Why would you not want to be free? And he told us a story of how some Christians had hurt him. Some Christians that were called themselves Christians, and they'd done this and they'd done that. You know, and he was upset about it, and he was talking. I said, you know, Christians make mistakes. I said, but Christ loves you more than you can imagine. And he paid a price that you can be free. I said, and there's three of us here. We could have just stayed inside, but we want to help you be free if you want it, but only if you want it. And he began to cry. And I said, okay, so do you want to be free now? He said, yeah, I do. And I looked at the guy and said, he wants us to pray for him. And they looked at me and said, you pray for him. I said, okay. And I remember just feeling the Holy Spirit say, just pray with him. So I said, okay, repeat after me. You know, and if you've been where people are getting set free, that isn't a normal thing, but I just felt whatever Holy Spirit's saying, I'll do. And he prayed after me, and I just kind of led him in praying and asking to forgive those people who hurt him. And Lord, I ended the prayer with, and Lord, set me free from this thing, and then fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he said, Lord, set me free from this thing and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden he went, whoo, whoo. He ran over to the edge of the deck and he threw something up over the end of the deck. And then he turned around to say something and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came over him and he went, whoa. He said, what is that? And he was completely free, but now he was feeling the effects of the Holy Spirit and he felt joy. He felt great joy. And here, he had been up at the front of this little church trying to attack people, bite people, and he was actually trying to get up on the platform to get the preacher who was up there. But anyways, here now he's free. And I said, okay, we got one more thing we need to do. We were out on this little deck. I said, you're free now, that's good, but I want you to go up, and I want you to give the preacher a hug because, you know what I was thinking in my mind? I got a little girl in there, and there's a ton of youth who think the devil's tougher than God just because this guy didn't want to be free. So I said, we're going back in. So the little old lady who had been holding the door bars there, she looked out and she knew he was free, so she opened the door and let us in. And we went back up to the front of the church, and the pastor was still up there, and this fellow who had been possessed was now filled with joy. He gave the pastor a big hug. They started a song, and the guy who had been going crazy before now, with the Holy Spirit, was dancing before the Lord, all filled with joy. So I want to tell you there's great joy when God brings freedom. Now, thankfully, most of us have probably not been in spiritual situations where we have the need to be set free from a spirit. But maybe some have. Maybe there's some that have been in situations or got themselves into spiritual places they shouldn't have, but probably not for most of us here. Yet God still the same power he wants to give us to set us free. Maybe it's guilt we need to be set free from. Maybe it's pain from something somebody did to us. Maybe it's just forgiveness we need. And even though for us maybe it's not a spirit, but there's a deep hurt and an unforgiveness that makes us bitter and ugly, the same thing that Christ did there can set us free from that. And when he does, it turns for joy. Great joy. Experiencing salvation and bringing it to others brings great joy. In Luke 10 and verse 2 and 3, and really all the way up to verse 21 if you want to read it on your own, we read where Christ is telling his disciples, that the harvest is great, but there's not very many workers. Back in those days, they harvested by hand. When the fields were ready to harvest, they went out with hand tools and cut down the grain, put it into bundles. And so when there was a big harvest, you needed a lot of people and you needed them now. And Christ is saying to his disciples, there's people that need to come into my kingdom. There's people that need to be saved. There's a big harvest, but there's not enough people to work it. And so Jesus looks at his disciples there, and it was more than just his 12. At that time, it says that there was actually 70 that he sent out. And he said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Now go and remember, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. So here he gets them together. His 12 are with him, but he's already prayed for them, and now there's another 70. And he looks at them and he says, there's a big harvest. Pray that God will send out people. And I find this interesting. It doesn't tell us how long they prayed for, but then he looks at them all and says, okay, now it's time for you to go. If God's asking you to pray about something, get ready because he may tell you to go. If he's putting a burden on you for something, it's a good chance he wants you to do it. He's got good things for you. Go. There's a harvest. It's all around you. Begin with prayer and then speak where he asks you to speak. And the 70 disciples returned and it said they joyfully reported. So they went out, they took this message, they came back and they were joyful. They said, you won't believe it, Lord. Great things are happening. Even the devils are subject to us through your name. In other words, they were seeing people set free as well. And Christ said to them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, he's defeated. That's why when you pray in the name of Jesus, those demons have to leave because of what I've done. And then he looks at them, he says, but don't rejoice just because evil spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Think about that for a minute. We have something we can be joyful about continually. When you accept Christ into your life, Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, when you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Forgive my sin. Come into my life. When you do that, Scripture tells us your name is written. In another portion of Scripture, it says your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, your name is written for eternity in this book that says you are a saved one. And he said, that's what you need to be joyful for. Why? Because this life here is really tiny compared to eternity. And what Christ has done is something that will last for eternity. Did you hear me? That little problem you have right now is nothing compared to eternity. That famous person you want to know, that's really nothing compared to eternity. Well, I want to be a famous NHL hockey star, so I'm going to give my whole life to that. You might make it, but that's nothing compared to eternity. Don't give up eternity for it. If God's called you to it, go for it. And that'll be a small little part of your eternity. But don't ever give up what Christ has, is eternity, for something little. Sometimes where we're at and what we're living in seems so big. It seems like it's everything, but it's little. Acts chapter 16 and 31 to 34. Paul and Silas have been talking about Christ and they get put in jail and they're actually beaten. And if you've read this story, it says that at midnight in the jail, they begin to sing praises to God. They've been whipped for talking about Christ. They're in a prison. They don't know what's going to happen to them the next morning, and they decide they're going to praise God. I think they had a little joy. What do you think? They had an internal joy that had nothing to do with their circumstances. I need you to get this. Because if your joy only happens because of your circumstances, you're not truly a joyful person. You just like your circumstances or you don't. That's not a joyful person on the inside. That's a person who is moved up and down by everything that affects them. But when you truly have Christ on the inside, you truly understand what he's given you in salvation, you can be joyful through anything. And Paul and Silas were joyful through being whipped, beaten, and thrown in prison. At midnight, they have no idea if in the morning they're going to end up being killed. They knew at that time and in that day and age that people who called themselves Christians were being killed. And what did they choose to do? They could have cried. They could have been like, it's so not fair. God, I gave you everything and this is what you give me. Oh, it's okay. We've all been there. But I want to take us further. I want joy to be deep. And Christ can give it to you deep. And they sang praises, and when they did, it said that there was an earthquake and the doors of the prison shook open. And the jailer who was in charge of the prison thought, oh my goodness, the prisoners have escaped. And in that time, if a prisoner's escaped, they would kill the jailer because that was how you made sure no jailers ever let people go on purpose. They did their job really good. And it said that when he saw the doors open, he took a sword and he was going to kill himself. And Paul and Silas said, don't do it. We're all still here. Paul and Silas end up talking to him and to his house. And they are saved. They accept and believe in Jesus Christ. Let me read that to you. The jailer asks them, what must I do to be saved? He asks that question. What do I need to do to be saved? He asks that question because he's heard them preaching about Christ and being saved, or he would have never asked that question. Obviously, he was in the crowd listening to some of their preaching. Now, when he's face to face with them, when this miraculous thing has happened, he's saying, how do I get saved? In verse 31, they replied, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. Verse 32, and they shared the word of the Lord with him and all with all who lived in his house. And even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. And he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. They're having a rejoicing party in the middle of the night. They prayed and sang at midnight. We don't know how long it took them to talk to the jailer. We know he brought them a meal. It could have been 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. They are rejoicing because salvation has come. Think about that for a minute. An entire home accepts Christ, and now there's rejoicing. And think about it from Paul and Silas's perspective. I bet you they were also rejoicing. We already know they were praising and thanking God in the prison. Now they've seen an entire household come to Christ, and they're probably thinking, we just had to suffer a little bit. It doesn't matter. Can I encourage you, if you're a Christian, you've accepted him, you have something amazing in you that can be shared with others. But I found something out over the years. If we become inward about ourselves and our own situations, we forget to share with others. If Paul and Silas had only thought about their own comfort, their own problems, they would have never been in a place to share the love of Christ. Let me just say it like this. If you find yourself in a little bit of a tough spot, don't get grouchy. Stay joyful and say, okay, God, why am I here and who am I supposed to talk to? So why does salvation bring such joy? Well, we've been talking about a little bit. Let me ask or read to you Isaiah 61 and verse 10. I'm going to give you some Old Testament, New Testament. Isaiah 61 and 10. I will sing and greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My whole being vibrates with shouts of joy in my God. For he has dressed me with salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of his righteousness. I appear like a bridegroom on his wedding day, decked out with a beautiful sash, or like a radiant bride adorned with sparkling jewels. Oh, salvation is God coming in and adorning you with his righteousness. It's no more about you or if you were good enough or perfect enough. He says here, let me forgive you, let me wash you, it says in another scripture. He washes you white as snow, and it brings joy from the inside out. Matthew 1 and verse 21, it says, Mary will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came and died on that cross to save us from sin, in other words, to forgive us completely. But that word save, as I mentioned before, means to be completely whole in every way. And when Jesus brought salvation and when his disciples brought salvation, there was always healing and deliverance with it. Because it's not only a spiritual thing that nobody sees. It's a complete salvation. In Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, we read another story about two of the disciples. This time it wasn't Paul and Silas, it was Peter and John. Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, you can read them completely if you like on your own. But in this story, Peter and John are going into the temple, and there's a lame man at the gate. And the lame man at the gate was over 40 years old, and he had been at the gate for many, many years, and he begged because he couldn't walk. Okay, they had no health care in those days. If you couldn't work because of a sickness, you sat somewhere where lots of people were, and you begged. And Peter and John come up, and Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold, I don't have any right now, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And it said he picked him up, and the man began to walk, and he went walking and leaping and praising God beside them. When this happened, it said that everybody gathered together to hear, and they began to preach about Jesus Christ, and they said, this man was healed not by something great in us, but because of faith in Christ. Christ who you crucified. Peter was pretty bold. The religious leaders were a little bit upset, and they took Peter and John and put them in prison for the night. But they had no reason to keep them because this man who had been lame was standing there whole. Christ chose to show his power through Peter and John, his saving power. And it tells us in Scripture in Acts chapter 4 that 5,000 people approximately accepted Christ on that day. Why? Because they saw it for real. They saw that this just isn't in somebody's mind. This isn't just a spiritual thing that we can talk about and there's no proof to it. They saw that this is real. Because every one of them who were in that temple area had passed by that beggar. They knew him. They knew this was not a setup. They knew this wasn't a show. They knew that guy. They'd probably given him money a few times because that's how those people lived. The salvation that God brings to us is real. It's mind, body, soul, and spirit. Mark 2, verse 1 to 12 gives us another example of Jesus saving and healing, forgiving sins and healing. And this is one of my favorite stories as well. Well, they all are. I love them. Here's another great story, and I like this one for a specific reason. This is a story of a paralytic, a man who is laying, he can't walk. He is, it says in Scripture, he has the palsy. And again, the names they have for diseases then are probably different than now, but we do understand he was bedridden. And Jesus has come to the town, and he is speaking at a house. And this man who is in this condition has four friends who decide they're going to take him to Jesus. This is why I like this story. Because it's not the man, it's his four friends who get him to Jesus. And the four friends, you know, they get on each corner of his cot thing that they're carrying him on, and they take him. When they get to the house, they can't get in. It's crowded with people. Everybody wants to see Jesus. Everybody wants to hear him. But the four guys don't give up easy. They said, you know what? Let's go on the roof and let's dig through the roof and we'll put some ropes on the end of his bed and we'll lower him down in front of Jesus. And then scripture says this, when Jesus saw their faith, not the man on the bed, the four guys who were willing to do something as crazy as that to see their friend healed. In other words, they knew Jesus had the power to heal him, and they knew if they could get him in front of him, that's faith. Do you know that God can transform lives? Because if you really know he can transform a life of somebody you really care about, you're going to do what you can to get him there. Jesus looks and he saw their faith, the four men, and it says he looked at the man. He looks at the man laying on the bed and he says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus saw the bigger problem. He saw the real need of the man. He was going for the most important thing of all, the forgiveness of sin on the inside, because that is eternal. He starts there. Your sins are forgiven. And immediately the religious people are like, who does this guy think he is? He thinks he has power to forgive sins. Who does he think he is? They're thinking it, not saying it. And Jesus knew their thoughts and he said, you know, you're thinking that, how do I dare say your sins be forgiven? He said, but that you will know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. He looked at the man and he said, take up your bed and go home. And he said, the man got up, picked up his bed and walked out. Because Jesus has the power to forgive sin, to make a man healed on the inside, to make a man brand new on the inside. And to him, that is even more important than a body healed. But of course, the healed body is awesome and important to him as well. But he showed what was most. Why? Because if he'd have told the man, take up your bed and walk, but he never had his sins forgiven, he's eventually going to get sick and die at some point, and he won't be in heaven for eternity. What you and I have when we've accepted Christ and allowed him to come into our hearts and save us is unbelievable. It says our names are written in heaven. Eternity is ours. The joy that salvation brings is eternal. Isaiah 35:10. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. Did you catch that? Everlasting joy. There's no end to the joy that God brings because we end up in heaven in eternity with him. Never-ending joy. Matthew 25 and 21, we read a parable. God says the kingdom of heaven is like this, and we've read the parable here before, and it says that he gives talents to his servants, and the servants come, and the one servant that first comes, he says, here, I've turned it into more. And I want you to look at the words that the Lord of the servant says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Did you know that heaven is going to be joyful? Heaven is not a place of sadness. It is not a place of silence. It is a place of joy. There will be laughing in heaven. Enter into the joy. It is an eternal joy that God brings you through salvation. I need to say this. If you have not yet accepted Christ into your life, then you don't know what this eternal joy is, and you need to ask him in. And I'm just going to ask you to do that. If you want him to totally forgive and set you free to give you eternal joy, we're just going to pray right where we are. I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me, just simply because Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, you're saved. So if that's something you want, I want you to pray this. So say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my mistakes, of all my sin. Make me new. Fill me with joy. Use my life. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.